At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop. Acknowledge me.
What's up, everybody? Episode 371 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Jesse Velasquez. No Justin Joint. Justin is celebrating his wife's birthday tonight. So I suppose that's a good reason, Jeffy, to give him the night off. How you doing?
Feliz cumpleaños, Mrs. Joint. A happy belated to you, Ryan. I know we missed last week with classics and everything. So, And as well as Tim Jensen, happy birthday.
Yes. We've had a lot of birthdays lately in the Top Rope Nation fam. My wife's birthday is this Monday, so that's coming up too. So yeah, January, busy month around these parts. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on the air. We did a flagship 2 weeks ago. As you mentioned last week, we did TRN Classic. So that was, you know, just for our Patreon supporters reviewing Starrcade 88, about a 2 hour show on that. All of us were on that one. That was a blast. You can listen to that by joining the Patreon or becoming a YouTube member right now. The video is up for YouTube members also. So that's just another option to check it out. Jesse, you were great on that show, I do have to say.
Thank you. Patreon's going to get paid next week too. I mean, big time. Oh. I'm dropping an unplugged solo Monday. Going to drop a second one. Haven't decided what day that's going to be depending on our schedule. Bringing on Royal Rumble expert himself, Michael Jenkinson. So yes. We'll talk about the 2025 Royal Rumble as well as a ECW Hardcore TV episode from the 31st of January 1995 that hits his sweet spot. That would be one Mick Foley, aka Cactus Jack.
Yeah. Michael's all-time favorite wrestler, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So I think, well, giving kind of a background for those who don't know, I'm covering ECW 1995, and I've been going over one wrestler each week so far. Like, I'll be doing Mikey Whipwreck coming up here on Monday, and then I will be going over Cactus Jack, kind of the state of his character in ECW, his FMW stuff, because I think it wasn't maybe 6 months to a year, like he had just left there and came here, kind of in that WCW shade, and then like where he's headed for the course of 1995. So it's going to be a fun episode.
Very nice. I will look forward to that as a member myself to listen to. I always enjoy TRN Unplugged. It's just another bonus show we do over there for our patrons. And yeah, Jesse does a fine job. The ECW Rewind has been entertaining thus far.
More entertaining than the WWF and WCW in 1995 so far, I must say.
Well, you know, it's not going to take much in those years. I like how, you know, Liam and Kyle over on Squared Circle Gazette were like, yeah, we're not covering 1995. We're going to 2000 after that.
I know. I've already made a joke. I said that if ECW's Gangsta's Paradise does not win the TRN Classics voting in September, I'm bringing Kyle Ross on and we're just going to cover it.
Just do it. Might as well. Two classics that month. Yeah. By the way, our poll just ended for January's classics, so we're going to be doing another one here in the next 2 weeks. Royal Rumble 2000 which was a show I really, really liked at the time. So we'll have to see how it's aged.
I have seen that undercard more than any Royal Rumble undercard ever.
Wow.
I can read that one like the back of my hand. Don't remember much about the Rumble itself, though. I did watch that a couple of years ago, and that had been the first time since 2000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a while for me since, you know, I watched, the Rumble. I watched the rest of it because the undercard is good. Of course, you know, Cactus and Triple H. But, I don't know if the Rumble I would watch that often. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Patrons, you can look forward to that. It just barely won the vote. We almost went back in time to Wrestle Kingdom 10, I think by one or two votes.
That would have been interesting. I know, like, so 9 years now, by the way, since that happened. So we're approaching a decade, and it's crazy how much has changed, I think, from the talent that's on that show and where they are now, and just the state of wrestling as a whole, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to be keeping busy over these next few weeks. We got Saturday night's main event this weekend. We got the Royal Rumble. We got AEW Grand Slam Australia coming in mid-February. We got TRN Classics. Show your appreciation, you guys. Get on that Patreon page. All the bonus shows, too. It's going to be a busy, busy time around the TRN offices. Or, like I said, I mean, you can also just join the YouTube, the membership TRN Plus on YouTube. A little bit cheaper, $2.99 a month, but it gets you the video versions of our bonus podcast. You don't get the convenience of the podcast audio, but if you like watching on video, it's a great route to go.
You can join the mighty fine patrons in the names that are scrolling down below on the videos.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You see those names right now. We really, really appreciate your guys' support. We say this every single week, but the show would not be possible without each and every one of you. And of course, also, you can support the show for free by subscribing. You can like this video on YouTube. We would really appreciate that. If you're on the podcast feeds, 5-star review, written review, even better, subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts. And honestly, the only way to get podcasts to grow these days is by recommendations. Social media is such a crapshoot. It doesn't really work. I'm going to be honest with you. We don't get much traffic from the social media posts. I'm not as by the book on those as I used to be, because I just would watch the traffic and it's like, well, Twitter throttles anything with links in it these days. Blue Sky does a little bit better. Facebook is about worthless, at least on our Facebook page. The group is better for trafficking. So, I mean, it's all basically word of mouth or search engines. And there's like 10,000 wrestling podcasts if you go on the search engines. So the only way people are going to find us is word of mouth. So if you guys could recommend us to a friend or two, we would really, really appreciate that. You know, discovery used to be so much easier on social than it is now. And we pretty much just rely on you all. So if you have wrestling fan friends, shoot them a link. Tell them, check out this show. They've been doing this since 2016, which is crazy. I mean, we're coming up on the 9-year anniversary. We're not one of these Johnny come lately wrestling podcasts that are trying to capitalize on WWE's boom. We've been down in the dirt with this product since 2016, Jesse. We went through some dark years and we stuck with it. And we would appreciate any help you guys can give us for sure.
I started my podcasting journey during the dark years of the WWE. I think it was, the summer of 2020, COVID times.
Oh, no crowd. That was rough. Woof. That was so rough looking back, man, watching wrestling like that. That was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully nobody will ever have to experience that again in their lifetimes.
So you're telling me leaving the World Health Organization might be a really stupid ass idea? Not to get too political on you. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Just a hair.
Just a hair. Just a
wasn't
hair.
The most intelligent thing in the world to do. No.
Well, let's hope it never happens again. Let's hope. All right. Let's go AEW. I think that's fresh on our minds. Last night, AEW Dynamite. I thought, Jesse, it was a fun show. There were some things on it I really, really liked. A couple of things I didn't like. I would say up and down, but the highs made it a thumbs up for me. And I mean, I think I just want to start with that opening segment, because Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, I thought that's everything about this segment. We talked recently, I believe, about the theme song choice and for Kenny. And I know it came from the Final Fantasy composer, Jay Schmitz, the next morning messaged me, said, I've never disagreed with you more than your take on Kenny Omega's new theme song. I'm like, look, it's a fine piece of music, but it just doesn't pump me up for a wrestling match. He needs to go back to Battle Cry. And damn it, Jesse, he went back to Battle Cry and it was amazing last night. So that was the first win for me. What do you think of him changing his theme song up?
It was, for the most part, the right decision. I still have not even gone out of my way to listen to the Final Fantasy theme from New Japan yet. I don't really feel the need to anymore now.
I wouldn't be surprised if he uses it for special occasions still. I bet he'll go back to it once in a while. But I mean, it's just Battle Cry is a top tier theme. So I was happy when he came out to that.
Has always suited his character. I liked his shirt coming to the ring last night. That could be a purchase for anybody down the road. And maybe as you kind of threw up in the corner there with Omega and Ospreay forming this mega group, mega powered, something along those lines, maybe they'll throw a t-shirt together at some point in time. Who knows? Yeah, the segment itself ruled. It was so fun. Brawling backstage. That actually did remind me of COVID AEW 2020. Just back in the halls of the Jacksonville Jaguars practice facility fighting, and that actually was somewhat entertaining television during that time.
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole opening segment just felt like anything could happen. It felt wild. It reminded me of those early days of AEW, like you're saying, and even, yeah, that kind of stuff, even during the pandemic when they would do those parking lot brawls and everything. But I thought the two of them playing up their history, not trusting each other, you know, the commentary and they themselves mentioning Forbidden Door and the screwdriver shot, and all of that. That was phenomenal. And then the brawl with the Callis family, of course, Ospreay doing the flip off of the balcony, Kenny coming off of the lighting truss. I mean, and then at the end, Kenny like saying, oh, you know, I should have trusted you. And then challenging, for the tag team match at Grand Slam with Fletcher and Takeshita, which should be awesome. I loved every bit of this. I thought that was an unbelievably hot start to Dynamite.
In Fletcher's home country. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes me skeptical of what way they're going to go with this. But I mean, you can't argue with the direction that they're taking at this moment. I mean, don't get me wrong. We would love to see both of these guys in the world title picture, but for now they have beef with Don Callis. It all makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So phenomenal opening segment, entertaining when they were given the promo up in the lighting truss. I thought Kenny then getting mad that they started his theme song early. And, you know, I believe it was right after that opening segment, they went into the tag title match. So it was two hot segments right away. I felt like going in, Jesse, there was just no chance Private Party was going to retain. You couldn't possibly beat Hurt Syndicate right now. You know, they feel extremely hot. Bobby Lashley is a guy who could be in the main event scene. You give him a title belt, it keeps him away from the world title picture while also, you know, getting him featured. It's a situation where you could actually main event with the tag team titles, you know, as over as that group is right now. And we have been for months down on the tag team division in AEW. And I look at the lay of the land now with Hurt Syndicate getting it and some of the teams they've got in the works. You mentioned it. Who knows if Omega and Ospreay stay together for a few months? I mean, they could be in the tag title picture if they don't want to move those guys into the world title picture in the next couple of months. It gives them something to do, too. You know, we've seen that in the past. Hangman and Omega as, you know, tag team. So it wouldn't be surprising to me if they did that. And, you know, that gives them another option. But, you know, you got all the situation where, like, you know, the new champions, they could feud with House of Black or whatever they're going to call them now with Malakai out of the picture. Bill and Brian Keith, Roosh and Beast Mortos, Archer and Cage. I mean, there's lots of options. It sucks for Private Party, and I'll let you speak on that. I think there, and I saw you on Blue Sky talking about this. There was problems with how they were pushed, absolutely, and it sucks that creative wasn't better for them, but I just think you had to have them drop the titles here. Give me your take.
Yeah, you had zero choice in the matter. They, again, were done no favors with their booking for the entire 2024. They were a sub 500 team. They were being ran over by the Death Riders in the first month of that angle, just made them look like jokes. And then all of a sudden you give them a world tag team title match against the Young Bucks and they put on a pretty good performance, one that we hadn't seen in a few years. And they're like, oh, they should have taken the championships away. What type of build did they have to even get to that point? They had none. You did more with them. You did more with them in the first 4 or 5 months of them being in the promotion than you had done in the last 4 years combined. So you can't expect me to believe them to be capable contenders, much less tag champions. So when they won the titles, and then it just coincided with the C2, so put them immediately to the wayside. They ended up feuding, I think, with Lio Rush and Action Andretti. That's a very inferior feud for a tag team to start out with. So the Hurt Syndicate just immediately walks in. Two big dudes, brand spanking new to the promotion. It was a pretty simple choice. And they're over with the crowd already. With the We Hurt People chants, you're already getting that over. And they're just a cool looking group with MVP leading the way. So, and all the tag teams that you just mentioned, yeah, hopefully you can revitalize it. Bucks will be coming back soon. You can throw FTR in the mix. The Outrunners can maybe find their way back in the next couple of months. I have no idea, but there's hope. Now build Private Party again. Have them start all over again. Have them beat a bunch of these teams and show that they're worthy of a rematch somewhere down the line or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, again, the creative around them wasn't good, but at the same time, it was just they heated them up, you know, totally out of nowhere. You know, and it was like we talked about it on the show at the time. The crowd loved that first match with the Bucks a lot. I didn't fault them for putting the titles on them at all, but there was just no follow up. You know, after they won the titles, they just kind of had them. People kind of forgot about it. There's no real good feud for them, and unfortunately, you got this other team in the division that's mega over that you kind of had to go with. And yeah, I mean, it was a really good match too last night, I thought also.
Yeah, I mean, Private Party's never been a shortage of electrifying moves. They're still pretty young too, so they still have time to grow. Mm-hmm. But again, you just can't push them back to the wayside in all of this. Much like you've done with a lot of the acts in AEW, you cool them off after you've heated them up for a couple of months. That's just one of those microwave things that Tony Khan again continuously does, and it has to stop. So. Congratulations, yeah. Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin. Hopefully you guys have a dominant run for a while. Let's see some teams step up.
Yeah. Jesse, I just realized I forgot to ask you what's in the glass. Do you have anything in the glass?
Sort of. I have an NA. I have a Upside Dawn Athletic.
I haven't had that one. I do have a few athletics now. You guys have peer pressured me into it, and I've been drinking them occasionally. I actually was going to have one tonight, but then my wife was pouring herself a drink right before I came down to the office, and I was like, damn it, I'm going to have real beer then too. So I've got a Bell's Two Hearted, nothing too fancy, but you know, classic Midwest IPA. So that's what I got in the glass.
Back-to-back weeks of Bell's.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had the Hop Slam for a Patreon, which, man, that is a great IPA once a year. So yeah, 10% or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Explains why the podcast was so good.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking when I forgot to ask you somewhere. Sean Skelton's out there cursing me out right now. Where's the in the glass segment? Damn it. What are you drinking? Yeah. Well, now you know, Sean.
Like we ask him right about now, what's in his child's bottle?
Yeah. Hopefully Sean's getting some sleep. I hope. We're thinking of you, Sean. All right, let's move on. I got a couple of thoughts. We're not going to run down all of Dynamite, but a couple of things that have been on my mind. I think I want to go transition to this. This Jeff Jarrett stuff. It's not working. You know, they're doing the stuff with MJF. They tease something else with MJF, which I'll talk about in a minute, which is enticing. But I just... Every time MJF comes out and he's talking about Jeff Jarrett, I cringe. It's just not, I don't know why they think they need to have him going after the world title and making this a point on your show every single week. Jeff Jarrett cutting promos. If you want to separate yourself from WWE, I mean, nothing personal against Jeff Jarrett, but I mean, he is so much associated with that era of TNA where TNA was real bad. The dying days. of WCW. Like, that's not what you want people to be seeing on your promotion. You know, people are already criticizing him as, you know, taking on all these older stars from WWE. To have him in a segment every single week is bad. And then I was thinking about it, Jesse, and I know we talked about this on our podcast at the time, like in 2019 and 2020. What they're doing with Jeff Jarrett right now is what they should have done with Dustin Rhodes. This is the storyline. You could have done Dustin Rhodes one last run of, you know, I want to be world champion. I want to capture the world championship before I hang him up. And they could have done it almost right after he had the great match with Cody when AEW first started. They could have done it when Cody was still in the promotion and Cody was at his side. Dustin's just a bigger star than Jeff Jarrett. You know, like if you look at the trajectory of their careers, Dustin starting in, you know, what, late 80s, early 90s, teaming up with his dad. You know, WCW certainly wasn't watched by a lot of people in that era, you know, early 90s. But then he comes over and he does the Gold Dust thing, you know, and then he's there during the boom period. He's there as Gold Dust during the Attitude Era. Jeff Jarrett, on the other hand, you know, he was in WWF when the company was down. He was in WCW. He was there a little bit when the company started to go on the rise. Then he went back to WWF, you know, but he was just kind of like, he was never a top star, really. Not to say that Dustin was, but Goldust was just way more over than he ever was. And then you look at, you know, Goldust being Dustin Rhodes, a bigger part of the shows during a boom period. And then Jarrett goes back to WCW and he's there during the dying days. I know Dustin went there briefly too. But then Jarrett's doing TNA and we get another Goldust run in the 2000s. You know, I just think he has always come across as a bigger deal than Jarrett. I don't think that that's controversial to say that he's a bigger star. And so, you know, the storyline of Jeff Jarrett, oh, I've been world champion all these times, I won it one more time. It's like, yeah, you know, you were world champion when WCW was going out of business and then TNA when you were running the show. People know this. I just think that that would have been the enticing storyline to do with Dustin Rhodes, and it just doesn't work for him. And I've always felt, like I said, we talked about in the pod 5 years ago, they kind of missed the boat. You know, they could have still done it. He's still around the promotion, but it would have been better when Cody was still there, obviously. But yeah, it's not working for me, Jesse. How are you feeling on this?
Going to Dustin Rhodes, I mean, they had the first five-star match in the AEW's company's history at Double or Nothing. I was there for it, and yeah. I remember just going, all right, this match will be okay. I was completely sucked into it by the time it was over. And Dustin could still go then. I mean, he can still kind of go now, but you're right. The ship has completely sailed. I think everybody knows how I feel about Uncle Jeff, Jeff Jarrett. I am not a fan of him being anywhere near a top tier act. He should be, and he's not only that, I think over the course of 2025 so far, other than last night, he's had over 10 minutes of camera time each show that he's been on.
It's insane. Absolutely 57 nuts.
57 years old, I think, something along those lines. And you're taking that away from, let's use an example, the people who aren't there right now that are under contract. Ricky Starks, Ray Phoenix. I mean, granted, mm-hmm. He's going to be gone. Let's see if there's a handful of others I can just pull out of thin air. Daniel Garcia really hasn't been on that much, and he's the TNT champion. Jack Perry, he's not there right now. So, you can't, yeah, this is really WWE in the mid-2010s-esque when you're pulling Goldberg out of nowhere, but Goldberg is a gigantic star as opposed to Jeff Jarrett, who was Intercontinental Champion a handful of times and World Champion of inferior promotions. And I do agree, Dustin Rhodes has had a better career and he's just a better overall worker than Jeff Jarrett is, even without the championships.
Yeah. I mean, like who could possibly buy that Jarrett's going to win the world title? It's just not even buyable. When Dustin had that match with Cody, like you could buy that maybe he could pull it off. And I think that would have been super entertaining. I'm telling you guys, go in our archives. We talked about it at the time, multiple times. Remember, Kyle was really on board with this too. He might've been the first one to bring it up. I don't even remember at this point. It's been a while, but man, that was where this storyline could have worked, you know. So they got Jarrett working Claudio next week, and if he beats Claudio, he'll get a shot at Moxley. he shouldn't. There's no way he should be Claudio. I don't expect him to be Claudio. You know, they're doing this stuff backstage where Karen is upset with him over his language and all this. It's just like, this is lame. We don't need this. All those other guys you mentioned that they could have on TV. You know, we don't really know what's happening behind the scenes with all of that. But like, dude, I've seen interviews with Ricky Starks. He says he wants to work. Put him out there. Use his contract. Even if you're going to let him go, just put him on the show. I don't really get it. Now, the end of the segment, because, you know, we had later, we had this situation. I mentioned MJF, and I don't like the stuff that MJF is doing with Jarrett. MJF interrupted what was going to be a squash match with Hangman Page. And then as they crossed paths on the entranceway, you know, they did this kind of stare down and tease MJF and Hangman. Now that I can get behind for MJF. I thought Hangman Page was phenomenal on this show. You know, he won the squash match. He did the stuff with Christopher Daniels, you know, where Daniels told him with the neck brace on, you basically ended my career and I'm done. And then you had Hangman kind of selling that, like he didn't know how he should feel about that. You know, he's showing a little bit of remorse on his face. This is something that he has always been so good at, is kind of playing both sides of the fence. Am I a baby face? Am I a heel? Even when I'm a dastardly heel, I can kind of show, like, with that emotion on my face that maybe I don't want to be this way. You know, he did that. That was phenomenal, I thought. You know, so even when he's running this character now where he's kind of losing control over himself, he showed that little glimpse, you know, of sympathy. And yeah, him and Max, that'd be phenomenal and a way better use of MJF than this Jarrett stuff.
Throwback to the first Double or Nothing card when they were the last two in the Battle Royal to determine who wrestled Jericho at All Out for the AEW World title. It's a lot of history you can go back with there. They've never really followed up with those two. Kudos to Christopher Daniels, by the way. He hadn't wrestled, I think, in a year. I watched that Texas death match, and I can't believe some of the stuff that he was doing and some of the stuff that Hangman was doing to him.
Yeah.
Gruesome stuff, and considering you haven't wrestled in a year, it wasn't a squash, but it was close. Hangman probably had like 75-80% of the offense, and with Christopher Daniels pulling out a move here and there just to try to stay alive in the whole thing. So CD, you will be missed by the in-ring wrestling community, but hopefully you continue to do some backstage work. I mean, we all applaud your career, but it's time for, yeah, I don't know where in the world Hangman's gonna go with this, because he has one of the best entrances in the promotion right now with the overhead shot as walking through the tunnel. Now you have to, as I've said over and over again, give this guy some wins over and over and over and over again. I know that he can continuously get over by losing, but at some point in time, he has to start winning too if he wants to be a world title contender again.
Yeah.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
One more AEW note, and then we'll shift to some news and some WWE notes, you guys. So if you're waiting for that, stay with us. I wanted to talk about that main event, Jesse. So we were talking about this a little bit, I believe, in our group chat. 18 minutes for Adam Copeland and Pac. Too much. You know, I was kind of looking forward to the match. You know, I understand why it was in the main event slot, but, you know, for a show that had... early, like the first hour of this program was phenomenal. I also really like Julia Hart and Jamie Hayter. Probably not gonna really talk about it, but I like that match a lot too. This main event was so slow and just kind of brought the show down. It was too long. And then the aftermath with the Death Riders. We've talked about on the show for weeks now. This story is not working. It's just not. And the way that they've lined up the championship contenders, I feel like I don't think the Moxley reign's going to end anytime soon, because, you know, they did the post-match beatdown on Copeland, and then the Rock and Roll Express backstage at FTR backstage, and you know, the Death Riders had tied them up and they couldn't come out for the save. So Jay White comes out for the save, you know, and he gets beaten down too. I mean, I think Jay White and Copeland are probably the next two challengers. So whether in some various order, that's Grand Slam and Revolution. I mean, Moxley's not going to lose a title to either of them. I don't think, you know, unless, you know, we've talked about this with Justin, unless they moved it to Copeland to then do the cash in with Christian. But I don't like that. I don't think that's a good way to pay off the story. And I think what we're getting to here is a lot of what we said last fall, I think, has rang true. You know, we were on the program saying we didn't think Bryan Danielson should drop the title to Jon Moxley. I know Bryan wanted to, but Moxley's been like the world champion multiple times. Bryan, in his last match as a full-time wrestler, could have put over a younger talent. It would have meant a lot more. I know they're probably going to do the return match based on, you know, the beatdown on Danielson and the plastic bag and everything down the line. But, you know, it didn't. They could have set that up without him losing the title to him. I just don't think that was the best use of Bryan Danielson to drop the title to Moxley. And this title run has just had absolutely zero heat to it. I mean, he doesn't feel like the world champion. They don't get much of a reaction from the crowd. You know, they're doing the post-match beatdown every single week. They're doing like the NWO, like bloodline stuff, but it doesn't have the heat that those two stables had. So it's just kind of flat. And it's like every show that they do that, if it's in the main event slot, I feel like the show ends flat. And like I said, it doesn't seem like he's going to drop the title anytime soon. And I think that that's a swing and the miss. I think they should pivot. I think they should put the title on somebody else. I just can't imagine this storyline picking up any more steam than it's had. Like if it's peaked, which there wasn't much of a peak, if it's definitely peaked, like I can't imagine them ascending this anymore. So I'm pretty down on the Moxley title run. I just think it's been a total waste and a bad use of the world title. Where are you at on all of this?
You never would have thought that putting a world championship on Jon Moxley would be a negative thing.
Right. I mean, he was my wrestler of the year pick a couple of years ago. Like, he carried this promotion for a couple of years. It's just this, like, we always reference the Jake Roberts rule. You know, he's been on TV. Say he had one pretty extended break, but mostly he's been around for about 6 years. And when he's around, he's around. Like, he's on the show almost every week. And I feel like it's just burnout, you know, and like he's had the world title multiple times too. And they had to keep going back to him when Punk got injured, you know? And, you know, I think it's flamed out at this point.
He loves the business. He's been one of my top five favorite wrestlers since 2012, even when he broke in with the Shield, because I had read a lot about Moxley on the indies and CZW. He's just different. Mm-hmm. You're right, though. I mean, I think if they had gone a different route in the very beginning with him and the Death Riders, instead of attacking the jobbers, why don't they go after some top flight contenders, go after the big guys? And none of the really big guys are coming after him right now. I consider Copeland to be a large name, but I don't consider him to be a top 10 to 12 contender in that promotion. I don't put him in my hierarchy. I don't put Christian Cage in there either. He's been kind of lukewarm himself since he won this contract. Darby Allin now is climbing Mount Everest. Congratulations. Why are we waiting for him to come back to potentially halt this? There's an easy, like you just said, an easy way to pivot. Just find one of these guys that you have on the roster that are extremely talented and either give them the belt back, like a Swerve Strickland, who's wrestling in a couple of weeks against Ricochet. That's going to be a really good match because Ricochet's turned it up another notch too. Or, I mean, now that you have Ospreay and Omega together, I'm sure you could find someone else in that mix. I wish Moxie would have wrestled Jay White on its own at World's End. Mm-hmm. Instead, like you just said, you're shoehorning yourself with Moxley and Copeland at Revolution. He is program number 3 or 4. You got Ospreay and Omega near the top. They're probably looked at now as like the flag bearers that everybody wants to see. And then you have Swerve Ricochet underneath. Yeah. So Moxley's, again, his group's just an afterthought. And now Pac has become an afterthought by losing to Copeland, which, again, it makes sense because Copeland's going to be the one being ushered in for this title shot, but it's not something that I agree with. I don't like pushing these early 50-year-olds to the top of the card when you have all those guys I mentioned lying in wait.
Yeah, so I mean, it looks like we're looking at probably double or nothing at the earliest for him to drop the title then. And I mean, it's way too long. And I just feel it just drags the show down because you see how awesome that opening segment is. Like that type of stuff should be the world title picture. You know, it shouldn't be. It was just, I can't emphasize enough, if you didn't watch Dynamite, how flat the ending of the show was for a show that was so good in the first hour. And it's just a problem. I mean, I like Jon Moxley a lot, but it's just not working. It's very clear it's not working, you know, and it's just, they're forcing it and forcing it. Let me ask you a question, because this was, you know, a big rumor when they started the angle. Would this story have more steam if Shane McMahon was involved?
More outside steam.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I mean, from people like us who cover it, I don't want to cover Shane McMahon in AEW right now.
Yeah.
I think that's almost turning away potential ticket sales by just advertising that a lot of these main events are turning into the Death Riders just beating everybody up, or them getting ran off to end the show after they had taken advantage of somebody in the ring already.
Yeah.
It's becoming predictable each week.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, the whole thing started with them talking about how, oh, they're going to fix AEW and it's war on AEW and all this. Like, that's not really what's happening. It's just, I don't know, a beat down every week with, you know, whoever they're feuding with. There's not like a huge war with the locker room going on or anything. I don't know. It's very, very flat. I mean, I could think of numerous guys who would be more compelling world champions right now, just based on where they would slot it on the roster right now. You mentioned it. Swerve for sure. Ospreay for sure. Omega's back now. Hangman, like all four of them for sure. And there's probably some other people you can make the argument for as well. But I mean, those four in particular would be better choices right now. I mean, quite honestly, I'd be more interested in Jay White having the title. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to drop the title to Jay White, but it would be a little bit more fresh than what we've seen right now. So that was one of my biggest problems with the show the other night. Is just, I've said it on the show before here on the podcast, but it's been dragging and dragging and dragging.
Kazuchika Okada just won the C2 and remained the Continental Champion. Heck, I would even take a world title run from him right now.
Mm-hmm. Totally. 100%.
Look at the contenders he'd have in line right away.
Yeah. No, it's unfortunate because there's some stuff on AEW right now that I really, really like. And altogether, it's still my favorite show to watch wrestling-wise every single week. I love that they're running these smaller venues now. By the way, I wanted to bring that up. Knoxville looked awesome. It's so much better to have a show in a smaller building where you got 3,000 to 4,000 people and it's loud and contained in a smaller space versus having 3,000 to 4,000 people in a 15,000 seat cavernous arena. It doesn't matter that it looks smaller on TV because the energy comes across so much better. You know, it just feels way more lively. With those smaller crowds and the bigger venues, the people are so much further away. You know, but what we've seen here in Knoxville and what we've seen at, you know, the Hammerstein, and basically since Hammerstein, they've been running the smaller venues, unique looking venues. I think we said this on the podcast at least a year ago that they needed to run more of these types of places, and now they're doing it. And that's a positive. It comes across much better on TV.
Cincinnati did a good job, I think, a week or two ago. They're coming to St. Paul, March 26th. They're going to UW-Milwaukee for that Saturday collision.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it with Roy Wilkins Auditorium. They hosted ECW Anarchy Rules 2000. I was there for that. That was a rambunctious crowd and a fun venue. So hopefully they can reboot it here with Dynamite on that Wednesday. That's going to be right in between Revolution and Dynasty, because Dynasty has been announced now for Temple University's stadium, or their basketball arena.
Yeah, Philly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Wednesday is such a hard day to travel, but mm-hmm. I might think about going to that Dynamite. I'll keep you posted. But I've been in the Roy Wilkins Auditorium one time, and it was to line up to go over to Excel for the floor for a Springsteen concert. They had us line up at Roy Wilkins right next door, and then they hurdled, you know, they herded the 2,000 people that are going to be on the floor at the Springsteen concert, and I was one of them. And that's the only time I've ever been in there. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to go. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a fun venue. I've even seen an NXT house show there, like 2019.
Oh, wow. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun. That should come. It should come across well on TV. All right, let's flip to WWE. So we got Saturday night's main event this weekend. Jesse the Body Ventura will be there once again. We'll see if we get the nostalgia hit as much as we did the first time in December when they brought the show back. But we'll be in San Antonio. Four matches, I believe, announced, which I think is what we had last time for the two-hour show. We got Rhea Ripley defending the women's world title against Nia Jax. We got Jacob Fatu against Braun Strowman. Icy title match with Braun Breaker against Sheamus. And Gunther defending the world title against Jey Uso. So, I mean, just looking at the matches, I'm not as interested this time, Jesse, because I did think on the first one there was a chance maybe KO could win the title. When I look at this card, if they had Jey Uso beat Gunther, I think that would be a huge mistake. I don't want to see that happen. I suppose it's possible, but I'm not that interested in it. I was a lot more invested in the idea of Kevin Owens winning and them shaking it up. And of course he didn't win, but you know, they brought back the Winged Eagle and they've been doing the storyline with him stealing that and everything. So they were able, despite not doing the true title change, to parlay that into something interesting. How are you feeling about this card this weekend?
Four matches. There were five, I believe, on Saturday night's main event, the first one.
Okay.
So I think there's one less this time. This card as a whole will be okay. Maybe Sheamus wins that Intercontinental Championship. I think that's a possibility. That's probably your best chance of the bunch right there. But outside of that, I think Gunther has destroyed Jey Uso in these promos these last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so fun to listen to. Basically, I even wrote, I said, did he pick up this promo package from me? Did I write this out for him? Because this is stuff I've been saying for a year and a half about Jey Uso. And Gunther's bringing it to light. And all these fans in the background, all they're caring about is the hand waving and let's get up. And Michael Cole even was hand waving and gave Jey Uso a high five, I think, before he got into the ring for his promo. Ignoring the fact that, oh, the bell has to ring sometime.
I think it was on Saturday night's main event, the last one, which I looked it up. You're right. It was five matches. But when, it was the Netflix debut when Travis Scott came out with Jey Uso and Michael Cole was like standing on the announce table doing the arm thing. And when they zoomed the camera out, you could see it. It was so cringeworthy. It was just, oh man, it was bad. Yeah, no, I know the fans are into him and stuff, but man, there is no way he should beat Gunther. So I hope that doesn't happen.
No. I mean, Rhea Ripley has zero chance of losing this, about the same percentage that she had of losing it to Nia Jax in her home country last year at right around this time at Elimination Chamber. So I don't really see much there. I think Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman will be a fun big man match.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to see how the selling goes down for that, but we all know Jacob Fatu is going to win there too.
Mm-hmm.
So in San Antonio, Texas, different crowd there. I'm not familiar with the last time that the WWE's been there. I know that AEW's been there a handful of times.
Yeah, Sean's going to be on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll see Sean in his hometown. I guess I could see the Sheamus thing because you know, he's never been IC champion. He had that great match with Gunther, which is shocking when you think about how long this guy's been in the company and how they pass around those mid-card titles. But he's never been IC champion. So, I mean, I guess I could see that happening. Yeah, it just the show in general just doesn't have the same intrigue to me. I mean, I really enjoyed watching the last one. So, I mean, I'll by the time the show starts, I'll probably be into it. And we'll it'll hit me in the feels when Obsession plays again. So, yeah, it'll be a fun watch. I don't know that we're going to do a review on Sunday like we did last time. Probably not, unless something super crazy happens. But, you know, we'll see. Otherwise, we'll probably just talk about it later in the week, I would assume.
Oh, if I hate to even say this, if Jey Uso wins the world title, I don't think we have a choice. We'd have to come on.
Yeah, we would. You're right.
Oh God.
Sunday morning. Yeah, we'll see if that happens. We'll drag us on the air. We'll have our coffee in hand, messy hair, early Sunday morning. Well, Jey Uso won the world title.
What are they doing? And I'll just come with a laundry list of why this shouldn't have happened. We're also a week away from the Royal Rumble, too.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
So I can't really see anything major league happening right now, at least not leading up to this, because this is one of the rare times where there's about five or six guys you could go with logically to win the Royal Rumble moving forward.
Yeah. I want to rant on something about the Royal Rumble. It just popped into my head, Jesse.
Yes. Go.
If there's anything that's going to kill the boom period that WWE is in right now with their business, it's going to be the greed of TKO, because these ticket prices are just insanity right now, like totally out of control. I'm not talking about resale. You know, I am talking about sticker price, face value. When they announced Indianapolis for the Royal Rumble, I've never been to a Royal Rumble. It's not too bad of a drive from here. I had every intention of going. In fact, I don't think I ever told you this. I booked a hotel months ago within walking distance of Lucas Oil Stadium, just in case. I ended up canceling it. I didn't have to pay for it, but I booked it just in case. And when those tickets went on sale, if I wanted to go, you know, with my two oldest kids and the wife, go four people, dude, I'm not paying $1,000 to sit in the nosebleeds at a football stadium to watch wrestling. That is insane. If you're paying that, you know, more power to you. I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, and I would not consider paying that. So, I mean, it's just, and this is everywhere. I mean, you look at the Mania tickets out in Vegas. I'm sure with SummerSlam in Minneapolis, unless business tanks by that time, is going to be just like this. Even the TV. You know, they're going to be at Target Center for a Raw right before WrestleMania. And I've looked at those tickets too. And to sit anywhere but the upper deck was like really high too. This is a TKO influence. You know, this is like what you would see with UFC ticket prices. And so I think, you know, if anything brings down these live crowds they're drawing, it's going to be these prices they're charging, because it is outlandish, Jesse Velasquez.
And they can keep getting away with it, especially with the responses of Dwayne Johnson when they're at the Intuit Dome saying, congratulations, you were the highest grossing event in WWE Raw history. They all clap. Oh, you just overpaid by five, six times the amount that exactly. You probably would have 2 years ago.
That is so ridiculous when people cheer that. Like, yeah, we gave you more money than anyone else. Hell yeah. You scammed us. Yeah, we're paying five times what these tickets should cost. Hell yeah. Intuit Dome. Intuit Dome. What are you cheering right now? You're getting scammed. Like, ticket prices should not be that much. I thought everyone was suffering, Jesse. I thought the economy was terrible. That's all I've heard for the last, you know, handful of months. Weird. Mm-hmm. Very weird. I don't know. All I know is every plane I'm on is totally full. These tickets are flying off the shelves at outrageous prices. I don't see a slow economy personally. People are willing to pay this.
So three things should be coming down in price: gas, eggs, and World Wrestling Entertainment events.
Yeah, get Trump on the line to a TKO. Tell him to reduce their ticket prices, because my God, it's bad, man. I don't know. I intend to go to SummerSlam in Minnesota. I would like to be there for that. But dude, if these ticket prices are like that, I don't know. Two nights also? I mean, if these prices hold, it's going to cost $2,000 for two nights to go with four people. That's just, I can't rationalize that. Not in a stadium, so far away. So yeah, I will not be at the Royal Rumble. Apologies. I probably could have got a media pass and gone by myself, but that's not fun. I don't want to go by myself. There's some media people there I would know, but my kids are into wrestling now. I want to take them.
I mean, you can save money by staying here, so you would save hotel costs, but that's about as far. Something. But again, these astronomical ticket prices, I don't understand. I do understand the logic of it. They're in the business to make a crap ton of money, and they are doing it. I just can't believe this audience is just continuing to pay for it as well.
Yeah. It's wild. I don't know. I still prefer the style of AEW. I like their shows better, despite my complaints. WWE is an easy watch. It's not always my cup of tea. It's definitely the more modern style of wrestling, I'll say that. But whatever, it's hot. I mean, you can't fault them, I guess, too much, because if the crowd's willing to pay it, they're going to keep charging it. It's just, I don't know. I've gone to a SmackDown in the last couple of years, and the tickets were not that crazy. They've really exploded, since the TKO deal, and especially over the last 12 months, I feel.
I'll have to look at that when the Roy Wilkins AEW seats go on sale. I'll just do a compare and contrast with when Raw is going to be here 10 days after that or 12 days after that to see what the differences are in ticket prices are. I can only imagine WWE maybe 2 to 3 times the amount.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, Jesse, let's hit some quick hits on some news items that I've seen floating around the last 24 to 48 hours. And if you have any thoughts, feel free to chime in after I read through some of them. And if you have anything on deck too that I don't cover, feel free to throw it in here also. The first one I want to start with, and this is where I will say good for her. There was a lot of talk that Alexa Bliss was on the way back, potentially in time for the Royal Rumble. And hey, it might still happen. But as of right now, things are at a standstill because they wanted her to return on her old contract, and she's demanded a new contract, and they have been unable to reach a deal. So her return is on hold right now. Given what I just said about what they've been charging on ticket prices, I don't blame her one bit. Good job, Alexa Bliss. Make them pay more for you to return.
Becky Lynch has been holding out for a long time. She's more than content being a mom, and Seth's getting paid 7 figures, so they're doing just fine as a family. Yeah, get paid what you're worth, especially with the market and how much money WWE is bringing in. But again, I feel like I'm just regurgitating stuff I've said 2 years ago. TKO and UFC, who's also in the same WWE umbrella, they've been underpaying their talent for years. Yep. Pocketing way more money and holding it for themselves as opposed to giving it to their contracted talent. And that's a problem. So good for Alexa Bliss. And hopefully when others come up here soon, they get paid what they're worth as well. Because AEW sure as hell is paying a lot of their talents what they're worth. That's for sure. I know Swerve got a nice hefty contract extension with with how much money he got in that.
Yeah. No, I remember a couple months ago we were talking about Becky, and I think I cut a YouTube short of it if you want to check that out and find the segment. But I said at the time, she should demand to be the highest paid women's wrestler they've ever had. I think she's earned that contract over the last several years. They got the money. I wouldn't come back unless they made me the highest paid women's wrestler they have ever had. I think that she's deserving of that, and I would absolutely demand it. I am always on the side of talent, and they should demand more every time, because you look at what some of these suits make for these companies and the bonuses they get, and that's not just in the corporate world outside of wrestling, it's certainly in wrestling. Look up the reports on what Paul Levesque gets for bonuses. Give it to the town. Now I know he's featured, Jesse, in a lot of their videos, but he's not an active talent anymore. Give that money to the performers.
I mean, if you're the highest paid on the roster, yeah, you should be featured in those promo packages. You should be opening up the very first Monday Night Raw. You should be called out by Cody Rhodes to come to the ring to end WrestleMania 40. You guessed it, Paul Levesque. But you know him as Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Always front and center on those. It is insane. What booker in the history of professional wrestling made themselves the center of every highlight video that comes out? I just, this business has passed me by, as an old co-host of mine would say. Maybe that's what it is.
Take a bow, Triple H, by the way. Take another one, because Kofi Kingston, in their first heel match as the New Day, he loses clean to Rey Mysterio.
Well, I think this next discussion, the other news piece I had, is going to flow right from the ticket prices. WrestleMania 42 and 43, some rumored locations we can reveal to you guys based on reports that are going around right now. I just wrote up a piece for this for SI the other day. WrestleMania 42, it looks like, could be in New Orleans at the Superdome, which longtime listeners will know. The last time they were at the Superdome, Kyle, Justin, and myself went back in 2018. Had a blast that weekend. More on that momentarily. But before I get to that, WrestleMania 43 could, not confirm, might be, they're talking about it being in Indianapolis. Now, if that was in Indianapolis, it would not be a surprise, because they signed, you know, the agreement. I think it was last summer, if I'm not mistaken, with the Indiana Sports Bureau. What's the name? Indiana Sports Corp. About having, you know, a Royal Rumble, which we're getting here in just over a week, a future SummerSlam, and a future WrestleMania in that building. So, you know, it would make sense. I would feel like they would want to do Indianapolis sooner rather than later, because, as we've talked about on the show, at some point, the Chicago Bears are going to get that indoor stadium built. And when they get it built, they will run Mania there right away. It's one of the hottest wrestling markets, you know, in the United States. And if it's indoors, they're going to run it. And so, I mean, I heard the Bears president the other day said they're going to have shovels in the ground this year. So if you game out, I don't know, 3 years to build the stadium, that's 2028. So by like 2029, maybe 2030, they're running a WrestleMania there. And Indianapolis is pretty damn close to Chicago. You know, they're not going to want to have them there back-to-back years. You know, so if they did it at Lucas Oil in 2027, that probably seems about right if they're thinking about, you know, the new stadiums coming down the line. Now, with New Orleans, what I would say is I would never complain about a WrestleMania being in New Orleans, and I'll be very tempted to go. You guys all know we love that city. You know, but I messaged Justin the next day. I was like, dude, WrestleMania might be in New Orleans next year. And he immediately put cold water on it. And he was like, I ain't going to be going with these ticket prices. And he was right. I don't know if I'll be able to go either. I would love to. It's New Orleans, but man, these ticket prices, Jesse, are out of control. So I don't know if I'll be able to justify the trip.
So there was a 5-year WrestleMania predict the venues question / segment that we had some months back. Vegas and New Orleans were pegged.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis is a surprise, so we'll definitely see where that goes from here. We know Minneapolis has been bypassed. They got a SummerSlam. I almost wish that they had signed a deal with the WWE and said, okay, we'll give you your SummerSlam, and then in a couple of years, we'll give you WrestleMania too.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, when we did that, they hadn't signed this agreement with Indiana Sports Group, because I just wouldn't have predicted they'd go back there for a Mania. I know it's a nice building and everything. You know, they had one there. It's so close to Chicago, but you know, they signed that agreement, so they have to do one there. You know, I would think eventually they would run that new stadium in Atlanta. You know, that one's mm-hmm. kind of a no-brainer. I think we talked about that one when we did the 5-year thing. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. I was not that surprised to hear New Orleans, though, because, you know, it feels like, all right, it's been, what, by next year, 8 years since they were there. It's a great location for a WrestleMania. I know that they like running it there. This would be the third time in the last, 2014, 2018, and then it would be 2026. So 12 years, they'd have three of them there. So, yeah, we'll see. That hasn't been confirmed either, but apparently, you know, there's been multiple sites running with the story that there's even people down in Louisiana, like city officials and whatnot, they've been talking about it. So not always proof, because we know that was the case up in Minnesota too, unfortunately, where we were so hopeful they would have a WrestleMania. But it looks like there's signs pointing in that direction.
Warm weather destination, that's fair. I mean, granted that here, if you were at US Bank, it'd be indoors. you're going to be in Indianapolis, you'll be indoors. So I think when it comes to the venue, most of the places are indoors. They might have learned their lesson from Philly last year with the night one where it was like 39, 40 degrees and super chilly and the crowd was kind of reflecting it, whereas night two was a little warmer, crowd was a lot livelier. And of course, you had the championship win from Cody Rhodes at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need to risk these outdoor cold weather cities for WrestleMania anymore. Run SummerSlam there, you know. It's a lot better idea, I think. So, yeah, you mentioned the Dynasty date in Philadelphia earlier. I had that on my list of news quick hits. You got anything you wanted to bring up?
The only thing I was going to bring up was Penta's debut in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's now wrestled in back-to-back weeks. WWE's already capitalizing by selling masks and shirts. They did it. They think they started the sales the morning of his debut.
So,
kudos for them jumping on that gun immediately. Debuting him in San Jose was smart in front of a California crowd that's seen him perform quite a few times. Very charismatic. He's got the catchphrase. He's not Jey Uso light, but it's a pretty similar situation. Good for him and his family. His family was there as well, front row. I thought that was cool. He looked a little slow. I felt the match with Chad Gable was decent. And Chad Gable even said afterwards, he said, this is why I love professional wrestling so much. Like I said, because you're going to be on your back losing to Penta after you had just signed a contract. I said, you're not Kurt Angle and Penta's not Taz. Royal Rumble 2000, by the way. That was just hysterical to me. His match with Pete Dunne just the other day on Monday was fine as well. I just don't see him being any further than a United States or an Intercontinental Championship at best. The only luchadors they've ever treated with the amount of respect or just given the rightful pushes. I'll actually add a third one in there, unfortunately. Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, of course they deserve it, but also Alberto Del Rio. And I just don't see Penta being anything more than a mid-card champion. And that's fine. Yeah. He's going to make a lot of money. He's going to make the company a lot of money with the merch.
Yeah. No, well said. I don't really have anything to add on that. No, I agree with what you said. I mean, I think the ceiling is about where you put it. I think they've handled the debut well. They're going to sell a lot of masks, and that's probably about all they're looking for. I mean, he is a guy who is easy to merchandise. He's got a great look, you know, always has. I mean, look at this. This is pro wrestling tees, but I mean, I got a little Penta figure right here in my office.
Nice.
he's a cool looking, he's always bad at, you know, cool outfit. I love the mask and everything. And I mean, he's tailor-made for WWE. And yeah, they handled the debut well. We'll see how it plays out in the months ahead.
National media, by the way, I think caught wind of his, I don't know if it's his friendship, but George Kittle, how much he loves Penta. They finally ran with it, I think, last week after, he had done this like 3 or 4 years ago when he was with AEW.
Yeah. George Kittle, if you're listening, you need to come on Top Rope Nation. I was trying to get him on the show. Did I ever tell you that?
You should try again.
This was back when I had the blue check on Twitter when it actually meant something. So you could actually like occasionally get the attention of celebrities because only a few people had them. And I had one for my journalism work and I was tweeting at him. And I was like, dude, you went to the same high school I went to for 1 year, you know, here in Iowa. And not when I was there, he's younger than me, but I'm like, you're a huge wrestling fan. You lived in my hometown. You need to come on this show. Never heard from him. If any of you out there know George Kittle, reach out. You know, Iowa zone. We need him on this pod. That would be a ton of fun.
There's so many avenues and questions. We could keep it so light, and he's just so likable as a whole too. I know my biggest friends text thread, they all love George Kittle. And this was even before I alerted them that, he's also a pro wrestling fan too, a huge one.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, obviously from the Iowa connection and hometown connection and everything, and then the wrestling stuff just put it on another level. Would love to have him on the show sometime. Who knows who's listening out there? Maybe somebody can hook it up. Let us know. Top Rope Nation at gmail.com. I'm going to put some QR codes on the screen here for those of you watching the video show real quick. I haven't done this in a while. Here's the QR code for the Patreon. Scan that with your phone if you're watching on your televisions right now, computers or whatever. It'll take you to the Patreon page. It's where you can get all that bonus content from us, like TRN Classics, like TRN Unplugged, like TRN Extra, and all of that. I'm going to be doing a merch drawing, by the way. Actually, I'm behind on that. I got to give away some t-shirts to our patrons, so that'll be coming soon. Speaking of t-shirts, here's the QR code for the TRN merchandise. If you're on the podcast feeds, you want to check our new merch store out. Go to topropenation.com, click the merchandise hyperlink at the top of the screen. That'll take you to our new merch store. I'm wearing one of our new shirts right now. It's a logo shirt and kind of a different color than I'd had before. I'm digging it. So lots of new merch items. We got TRN Unplugged merch there too. Jesse Show. We got coffee cups. We've got flags now. We've got beer glasses. We got rocks glasses. We got stitched caps, t-shirts, long sleeves, hoodies. Great stuff. Great way to support the pod and represent us at your favorite wrestling shows. So you can check that out as well. Jesse, I feel like this has been a really good show. Flew by really fast.
Quite informative. We hit on pretty much every major, I think, topic in the world of pro wrestling. I will throw a congratulations out to Joe Hendry for being the Impact World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, that happened. It did. It's just like, I know Impact's doing better business, TNA, but it's so far down my list of wrestling to watch that like I just don't have time to watch it. You know, for me, it's AEW, it's WWE, then New Japan, then NXT, then TNA, you know, and it's just, I'm not going to get to fifth on the list. I just don't have the time.
The people who do it on a daily basis, it's incredible how they go one day to the next covering a promotion and trying to keep things straight. That's why from time to time, you kind of catch them slipping up in their coverage just a little bit, because I think they're spreading themselves a little bit too thin.
Agreed.
It's hard to keep up with all that stuff.
It's way too much. I mean, like, a lot of those people don't have children either, Jesse, like we do. It makes it damn near impossible. So you got to prioritize what's important.
I have mine part time and I do the best. Yeah, when he's not here, and you guys know this, If I'm not doing anything with my shoot job, it's usually pro wrestling on my television.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always playing. I mean, that's how I feel. Anytime I have a spare minute, you know, like when the kids go to bed and stuff, I'm like, well, I got wrestling to catch up on. You know, it's like that, or when I'm watching shows with my wife, that's about all I have time for. There's not a lot of recreation outside of there. Mm-mm. So not that I don't enjoy it, because we love pro wrestling and we love bringing the show to you guys every week. Next time Justin will be back, we promise you. Justin hasn't been on a flagship in 2025 yet. I just went back and looked. The last flagship he was on was the World's End review, and you know, we did Classic last week, so he was on that one, of course. But
wow,
2 weeks ago it was just you and I believe.
I like I said this 2 weeks ago when it was just you and I said I do not remember the last time the three of us were on a Thursday flagship together. I think it was sometime in November.
Crazy. It'll happen soon, I promise you. But if you want to hear Justin, Starrcade 88 was a blast. And all I'll say is, people that tell you Lex Luger was bad are being dishonest with you. We talk a lot more about it on that podcast on the Patreon feed.
Retrospective of Lex Luger. Yeah.
There you go. All right, guys. That's all we got. This has been episode 371 of Top Rope Nation. I gave you the email. Follow us on social. We're on Blue Sky a lot more these days, but we still have the Twitter X page. We got Instagram, of course, the Facebook group. Search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. You can find us there as well. He's at Jesse C. Velasquez. I'm at Ryan Drosty. Hope you all have a great weekend. We'll catch you all next time. Enjoy Saturday night's main event.
Goodbye and good night, bruv. Bang.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up.
Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.